Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like when you go into somebody's house and they've like painted. And maybe some new appliances.
Yeah.
But like the seating's going to... Because originally what they were going to do
They're not going to make the lower bowl bigger?
No, what they were originally going to do was flip it.
Yeah.
And now the problem is building costs went up through the roof, 6X or whatever, and something that $550 million would have paid for in 2019, now you're looking at, you'd be better off just building a new arena.
Good God.
Because you'd have to essentially, because it's concrete.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is the, that is the, you don't want to sit in the upper deck.
And we have, I think it's 49% of the seats are in the upper deck.
Good Lord.
And you look at every arena, you know this, every arena that's being built now, look at how they're doing it.
Yeah.
It is a massive lower bowl.
Yep.
There's like a thin row of suites on top of that and then a small upper deck.
Yep.
That's how everybody's doing it.
Yep.
Because nobody wants to pay to sit up top.
That's exactly right. Good man.
Like, do the Titans really need a new stadium?
I mean, people say that stadium's a dump. I went there a few years ago for a playoff game, and
when
it was
people say stadiums
fine.
Are a dump, I'm like, I guess y'all don't go. Like, when I was covering college football, I was like, these are dumps.
These are dumps.
Right.
Yes.
It was like when you found out your team, like, the team you're covering played in the NFL. It's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's gonna be parking. There's gonna like the stuff's gonna be nice. Like, yeah. I remember covering the year I went to, covered two games at the Georgia Dome the last year that it was open. And I was like, I really didn't know they needed a new stadium.
I didn't either. Looked pretty cool. And Mercedes-Benz looks pretty cool.
Yeah, like, again.
But the Georgia Dome also looked pretty cool. I mean, it's Superdome where the Saints play?
Yeah.
That's not a very nice stadium.
That is true. They did make it better.
Yeah.
Ish.
But that's not a great one. It's not you. I mean, it's functional, but it's not nice. You don't look in there. 100%. You don't go in there and go, this is nice.
No, my joke was when Mercedes-Benz put their name on, it's like, I can't believe they wanted this. I guess this is their C-class, and their S-class is over in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta. It sure is. Oh, man.
Let's talk to the Grizzlies.
Capitalism. All right. Coming up next.
I don't even know if this is capitalism.
I think it is.
No, it's like, but it's not. It's getting us to pay for it.
That's true, but.
Capitalism is what Kroenke did.
Yeah, to make money.
We publicly subsidize the losses, and they make the money on the profits. Like, that's not capitalism. In my core, I'm a capitalist.
Me too. This sometimes it just seems gross.
Correct.
Sometimes it seems gross. Hey, guess what? It's fun to go to Tiger basketball games, and you should take the family. Coming up next on the Jeff Calkins Show. By the way, I'm not Jeff, if you can't tell. I'm J.R. Moore filling in. Coming up next, we have Chris Harrington. We're going to talk about the Grizzlies. And after that, we have Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I've never talked to Charles Fisham, but I'm going to. It's going to be awesome. You're listening to 929 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, what a jam. This might be my favorite one. Let's do that Chris Harrington thing. Chris, I know what we're listening to, but tell the people what we're listening to.
That's a Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. From Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift to You, classic Christmas album, and one of my at least two favorite songs on that album, and one of my favorite Christmas songs.
I think we're in agreement there. That does feel like Phil Spector's Christmas Gift to me. That is a jam with a key change on every verse.
Don't Google him.
I don't. Yeah, he had other Christmas gifts, and they weren't quite as nice.
Yeah, not as nice.
the key change on every verse. The performances. Fantastic. I love that song. It's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. All right. A couple things, Chris. We'll get to the last night in just a minute. But this is what I'm curious about. I actually don't know the answer to this. When the Grizzlies were first coming here, and part of the deal was getting a new arena, I guess, to come here, was there ever talk of spending that entirety of money allocated for a new arena to renovate the pyramid to fit to be
retrofit
retrofit it to actually be a proper NBA arena?
Oh, I mean, I don't remember specifically. I'm sure there was at least conversation about whether that was possible, but I don't remember that. If there was, I don't remember it getting very far down the line. Yeah. I think it was pretty much always going to be a new arena. I mean, the Pyramid was not that old at that point.
No.
And I think it was a disappointment that for it to be considered not up to snuff for an NBA arena. It really wasn't.
Nope.
You know, what they could have done to it to get it to that point, I don't know. But I also think people like the idea of the location, you know, there in the foot of Beale Street.
Sure.
And all of that, or they're adjacent to Beale Street and all of that. So I don't remember that being, if that was discussed at all, I don't remember it getting very far down the road.
If I recall correctly, and I think Jeff has said this, part of Heisley bringing the team here was the commitment for a new arena.
I thought that was a thing. I just didn't know if that was, if it was ever even talked about. Like, okay, here's the money. We'll give you this money, but can we just retrofit the pyramid to make it?
No, I think by the time the team officially moved, it was known that a new arena was going to be built.
Yeah.
Whether there was discussion before you got to that point, I don't know. Definitely the arena was part of the package to move the team here. And I know I had a lunch once with Michael Heisley and some other people, and he explained very specifically why he chose Memphis over Louisville was the choice. It was Memphis or Louisville.
Yep.
And he said very specifically there were two reasons he made that choice. One was he believed that he was more – FedEx is more attractive to him as a corporate partner in terms of naming the arena and everything else than what was available in Louisville. And the other thing, give credit where it's due, he said he believed in Willie Harrington, who was then the mayor's, ability to get the new arena built.
Wow.
And he said it was FedEx and Willie Harrington were the reasons he chose Memphis.
Oh, he was right. I mean, he was definitely right.
The biggest debate I remember is where was it going to go?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because I think at one point they were talking about like those lots across from AutoZone Park.
Yep.
And then, of course, there was always the inevitable push to move it out east. But Harrington was always, I feel like, pretty clear that he wanted it where it was.
Yep. I mean, it worked out great. It's a great, it's perfect. The location is perfect. We were, in light of the, last week's news with the Bears owner talking about moving to Indiana and then the Chiefs announcing that they're building a new dome stadium in Kansas. They announced that last night. When they have like an awesome arena with character that people love, I wonder, like, you know, there's not a lot of every new stadium. It just takes away another, you know, closes a stadium that has an actual personality and character to it. And, you know, the Pyramid, we were just talking, the Pyramid, fantastic idea, like cool idea.
The execution was
horrible.
Terrible.
Arena. Yeah. It was awful.
No, it was bad execution. It was weird. Like the first few seasons in there.
Yeah.
To think about it now relative to, like, you know, what FedEx Forum's like, what the NBA arenas are like. Like, the concourses are basically just concrete. Just felt like a big,
trash.
Like a really big high school gym that looked cool from the outside.
It really did. Like, it looked so cool. And you're like, oh, if they just could have, like, executed on this, what an awesome thing we would have. And, at least Bass Pro did it. It's cool inside Bass Pro. I dig that. But yeah. I just didn't know if that was ever, if, like, you know, whatever the arena costs FedEx Forum to build.
$250. Yep.
If they had ever talked about, like, let's just take that 250 and make this make the pyramid a proper thing. But, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. All right. So the Grizzlies last night lost to the Thunder for the 15th straight time. And that's not an exaggeration, which sounds right. Like I'm being hyperbolic. But, like, I will say, what are they supposed to do? They're not exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's losing the 20-point lead or whatever it was at home to the Wizards. That's
the
problem. It's not losing. I mean, if you had told me before that game, okay, here are the players who are out, here are the eight players who are unavailable, and you're on the road against a Thunder team that was 13-0 at home before that game started, now 14-0, and you're going to commit 21 turnovers, eight more than they do, I would have expected a less competitive game than it actually was.
Sure.
Given all of that. Is it disappointing to, at one point you got it to four. You had it to four briefly, and then they immediately hit two threes. But you got it to four briefly in the middle of the fourth quarter, and so, like, it's a game that is competitive in the fourth. But considering who you're playing with and who you're playing against and where you're playing and all everything, you know, that was about the most expected outcome you were going to get, really.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really surprised or disappointed in last night's game. Like, that's one where you just go, I went to the Tigers game last night. When I got home, I turned it on, and I immediately texted Jeffrey, who is number 35 for the Grizzlies?
Right.
And I pay attention, and I did not have any clue who that was. And when we're at that point of the season already, playing against the Thunder, I don't think anybody thought any different.
I don't love Christian Koloko first game as a new signing for the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say I don't love that. I also have to acknowledge, like, their options were somewhat limited with Brandon Clark and Zach Edey both out.
Yep.
And, like, and given like, how they are generally with trying to not do heavy minutes, which most teams now, not all teams, but most teams in the NBA are kind of like that. And they're on a road back-to-back where, like, your better chance is probably tonight. Like, I understand, like, you know, you're missing a lot of guys. You're not trying to play super heavy minutes. This is what you got. I mean, I don't know. You could have gone with, you know, Omax and a smaller lineup that had a different guard on the floor. Maybe that would have been better. So I don't love having Koloko win the game in that situation, but, like, they were in a rough spot.
They were definitely in a rough spot. What has happened? Or I shouldn't say what has happened. I mean, this is not a brand new thing. But as injured as we are, and as limited on players as we are, what's going on with GG Jackson? Why is he still not get run?
I mean, he had a little bit last night, which was the first in a while. He did hit a couple threes.
Yep.
I mean, the reality with GG is that these last two seasons, I'll acknowledge it, has not been a lot of playing time. It's not a big sample. But when he has played, like, the team has really struggled, especially on defense.
Yeah.
And last season in particular, like, you know, you can pick it apart or believe it or disbelieve it or whatever, but the raw numbers in terms of team impact had GG Jackson near or at the bottom of the league in terms of what is the defensive team impact when certain players are on the floor or off the floor. And GG was near the bottom of the league in that last season. And, like, when you watched him play, you could see that he was bad on defense.
Yep.
Now, he's still really young. He's still the youngest guy on the team. He is talented. I think his athleticism has been a little overrated, probably, the functional part of his athleticism.
Yep.
I think he's a little stiff and a little straight up. I don't think he's a great, like, lateral athlete, and that's probably part of the defensive problem.
Sure.
But this is a team that has a lot of subpar athletes on it, and he's not one of those. And so, like, that does help. I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time being critical of him not playing more, because when he does play, I don't think he's been that good. And this is two different coaches who have sort of been reluctant to put him out there in meaningful games a lot. And so, you know, I would give him praise for not only embracing, but in some cases wanting the G League assignment to get minutes and to keep working and to stay fresh and, like, and stay ready. And he is still young. And so, hopefully things will turn the corner will turn for him, you know, sometime in the next year or so, but I don't know.
I hope he doesn't turn into one of those, what could have been stories. Cause even though it was on a trash team because we were so injured, his 1 year, like, had so much promise. And then it's just, like, been in the dungeons of
well, not only did he have, you know, some big games, including on TNT
yeah.
GG, he was so charming, right?
So charming.
And he was so energetic, and he had this youthful personality, and he's making buckets. And it just didn't, you know, the next step he needed defensively, the defensive stuff just wasn't noticed in the context of that season.
Right.
Like, it was just, it wasn't real basketball, you know? And so once you're sort of asked to play real defense, I mean, it just hasn't panned out for him. But he's still got time.
Yep, I sure hope so. This is going to lead me to a broader question. Why does Shai Gilgeous-Alexander get away with so many push-offs? Two pushes off.
Yeah, he's not the only guy who does. He gets away with a lot. He also does a lot. He's got volume on his side.
Yes.
He's really good. Good players tend to get better whistles. I mean, don't tell that to Jaren Jackson Jr. because he doesn't get a better whistle. But most good players get better whistles. And to some degree, if you just do something all the time, people get tired of calling it. Like, Tony Allen benefited from that on defense, you know?
That's true.
Draymond.
So there is that. But yeah, no, I don't think people are wrong when they say the Thunder get away with a lot. Both Shea specifically and the way he draws fouls and the push-offs, and also just the physicality of their defense. Being really good and also getting the benefit of the whistle, those things can often go hand in hand, and I think they do in both of those cases.
Yeah, I get less annoyed that the SGA stuff, and he foul baits, whatever, how you want to rephrase it. I get more frustrated that they get away with murder on defense.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like it's like when Saban used to tell his DBs, like, we hold every play.
Right.
They're not going to call it every single time.
That's exactly right. When it was at there was a point where it was still pretty tight last night in the game, and Wells is on SGA. He's guarding him about as good as you can guard him. And, buddy, and to be fair, SGA makes a great step back, fadeaway jumper. It was gorgeous. However, buddy, he pushed off like you would not believe. Lowered his shoulder into him and extended the arm to push off. And I would imagine that there's a lot of NBA players that would say, hey, man, if I could push off like that, I could also make
score.
That shot. And so I don't – why do good players get the benefit of the whistle? What is the
– Except for Jared will gets those offensive fouls all the time on those little, people arm out a little bit.
You can say that, if you just do it all the time, they're not going to call it every time, except for Jared. He does it all the time, and he gets called on it all the time. I just understand, why does the star treatment exist in foul calls? I don't get that.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think it should be that way. It's just maybe it's human nature from referees. I don't know. I am personally a big believer in the non-call, and so I'm fine with a loose whistle if it's a loose whistle applied across the board. That's kind of my preference. I'm from the pickup school of you call your own fouls and don't be embarrassed calling ticky-tack fouls. Like if you're not really hit hard, you're not calling a foul.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's been this way forever. I mean, since I was a kid, I feel like one of the most annoying refereeing things in the NBA is I feel like they anticipate fouls. If a guy's going to the hole and a dude just swipes his arm down,
that bother me the most are when they wait to see the result.
Yes.
It's a foul if he misses, but it's not a foul if he makes it.
That's exactly right.
That doesn't bother me as much because I'm also a believer in sort of judicial discretion a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think the referee's job is to, letter the law. Because if you want to, you can blow the whistle on every possession of every basketball game.
Absolutely, 100%.
And so you're trying to let the players decide the game and just sort of keep the game in between the lines. And so if it's a real foul, but it's borderline, and then the guy makes the shot, I'm okay, swallowing the whistle. But if it's a real foul that's borderline and the guy misses a shot, you feel like justice is getting him to the free throw line. I kind of don't mind that, actually.
I might be with you there. It drives me crazy when they make some – often make really tough, quick
– to be clear,
good
it
calls.
Is impossible
It
to
is
fish
so
in.
Hard. But there are some times where it 100%. Is clear as day that they're not – this is not a basketball call. This is not nobody was harmed in making this call. And they just anticipate a foul because somebody's driving to the basket and I ran beside him. So if I ran beside him and he's LeBron James, I must have fouled him. And that doesn't make sense to me. I hate that.
Yeah, no, I ultimately come down to what Jeffrey just said. I just think it's impossible to officiate a game, which is why, again, my sort of cardinal beliefs are loose whistle and justice over letter of the law a little bit.
Yeah,
just try to stay out of the way as much as possible and let players decide the game. That's sort of what my preference would be.
Well, if you think about it, that's kind of how, to me, the starkest contrast is playoff officiating versus regular season officiating.
Yep.
If you think about it in general, and there are occasional exceptions, but in general in the playoffs, they pretty much swallow the whistle.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
But why do ticky-tack fouls exist at all unless you're just trying to make a point, which is dumb. I don't know. I don't know. Here's one that I would love to hear your opinion on. Why is Draymond Green still so popular? That after last night, if you did not know, that him and Steve Kerr got in an argument, and he said that they were so fired up, he had to remove himself, and he just walked to the bench or walked to the locker room and left the game, and later came back to the bench in his warmups, but was not put back in. And I don't know anybody else who could just have that pattern of behavior all the time, and just everybody's like, yep, that's him.
I, I missed that, but I did see that Kerr the other day, like, got on his high horse again about the Dylan Brooks, like, break the coach
out four years ago or whatever. Oh.
And it all drives me crazy because of the Draymond thing, because of the double standard that is applied to Draymond, not just by the league and by officials, all that, but by the Warriors. The fact that the Warriors, like, put up with so much, can excuse so much with him, to me, it's like you sort of foregone your ability to, like, chastise and criticize others when you're putting up with this dude. And so, but I didn't see the thing last night.
I read about it last night. Then Kerr, and when he came back to the bench, I mean, that reporter asked Kerr if he was going to put him back in. He was like, oh no, definitely not going back in. He left the game and we were fine without him. And so I appreciate Kerr taking a stance like that to be like, no, you're not going to leave the game and then come back whenever. However, they still just put up with this. And then talk when other people act like Draymond, they're like, how could you act like that? And I don't know, does winning championships give you the free pass at that? And normally we say when people win championships, well, then you try to have copycats in the league. And so if people are going to copy Draymond, but then get
the thing that bothers me is we're going to have to just deal with him for another 30 years because they're just going to put him on TV.
They'll put him on TV. He's just
I don't
understand how he's so popular. Like when
he's like on the Dick's Sporting Good ad.
Yes.
To come to his defense a little bit, I guess, not that I'm eager to do so. I was a big fan of Draymond Green coming out of college. So, somewhere lost on the internet is a piece I wrote that draft day that said Draymond Green should be the pick of the Memphis Grizzlies.
I remember
25 or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I loved him coming out of Michigan State. I loved him as a player for most of his career. I do think he is a true, like, basketball genius in terms of his feel for the game, his feel for defense and passing and motion and all of that. And I think when he's not being obnoxious, he's good at talking about it too. But there's just so much extra stuff on top of all of it, you know?
I'm with you. I think everybody liked him coming out of the draft because nobody knew
was a lot like Patrick Reed was as a golfer. I know this means nothing to you, Chris, but Patrick Reed's golf game was very interesting because he wasn't this cookie cutter that all these tour players are now, where it's just hit it as far as you can. Like he had a skill set that was interesting, but he was just so obnoxious to watch that you just couldn't enjoy it.
Yes.
It's a similar thing with me with Draymond. It's like, I think his game is interesting.
Yep.
He's so obnoxious, I can't give him credit.
For me, there's so much on the other side that it ruins how good he is as a player because of all the extra stuff for me.
Yeah. And obviously, he's not as good as he used to be, which happens when you're 35. So there is that. The game has diminished. The mouth has not.
The mouth, I think.
Increased.
And as the older you get, the mouth only gets worse, generally speaking.
Right.
That's my grandmother. All right. One more question. Jeffrey and I were talking about, not one more question, but close to one more question. Jeffrey and I were talking about this earlier. Like, just regarding the Grizzlies and the injury report, and it just seems like such a pattern. And people complain about the medical staff, and I think that's ridiculous because, like, I'm sure the doc, they have, everybody has their own team. I do not complain to the staff.
They've also changed that stuff over the years during the time people have been complaining about it. And so it's not like the same trainer and the same whatever over the course of all this period.
Do you think they're an organization of wussies? Do you think it's a sissy culture?
I think it's a few things. I think it's a few things that are compounding together. I think injuries are up across the league, which has been a story across the league, right? Every team you look at, guys are out 3 weeks with a calf strain and all this other stuff.
Yep.
So I think injuries are up generally. I think the Grizzlies have a few players who are we now know have real, like, ingrained durability issues.
Yep.
Brandon Clark, obviously. And John Morant now is there. You know, Ty Jerome had a little bit of injury history. He got over it last year, and then this happens. And so, but I think Clark and Morant in particular are just now part of who they are, unfortunately. And I do think the Grizzlies are probably lean towards the more conservative side on that stuff too. You throw all those three things together, and then you add some bad luck on top of it. I think that's where you get to where you're at.
There was a time when Steph Curry had ankle problems, And I think there's
a time where people thought Jaren was like had durability problems.
Yeah, didn't
and he's been like the most durable guy the absolutely. Last 3 or 4 years.
Didn't Steph?
Now,
he had
turf toe surgery over the summer, but right. like he got over that and was right back. Yeah. But in terms of like actual gameplay, he's become one of the more durable guys. But the first 3 years of his career, people had concerns about him.
I mean, is there any argument to like rethinking their train? Not the medical staff, but how they train. I mean, like I said, when Steph Curry, his first like 5 years in the league, he reinvented how he trains and to try to prevent ankle stuff.
I don't feel like I know enough to go on a soapbox on that subject, honestly.
I think there's
lots of really smart people who think about this all the time.
Sure.
And they try to figure it out. I think the whole NBA is having a problem with the pace of play and the style of play with the three-point shooting and the pace and what is being asked of players in terms of constant movement,
yep.
Which is different than it was a generation ago, and
sure.
you apply that to an 82-game season. I think the NBA is always looking for little things, little gimmicky things to do, and the one thing they don't want to do is reduce the number of games. And I think given the way the game is played now, there should just not be back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Like, you do whatever you – reduce the season by however much – you need to eliminate back-to-backs. That's
right.
The first thing they should do. But I think the wear and tear on players in terms of playing the game is different than it used to be.
Yeah.
So that's more physical, but that the movement and speed is different. And I think that's a problem across the board.
You're probably right. All right, Chris, I'm going to get you out of here. Thank you for joining us, sir.
All right.
That's Chris Harrington with the Minnesota man. Oh, he's in Memphis now, though, isn't he? Did he come to Memphis yet? Back to Memphis for Christmas?
Yes, I think they drove down yesterday.
There we go. All right, when we come back, it's Fish on Friday on Tuesday. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. My name is J.R. Moore filling in. Go to a Tigers game. It's fun for the whole family. On 99 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I love this song so much. Top fiver favorite song.
I like the, yeah, I mean, pretty much anything with, I like the fact that Elton John was like, I write music. And then the guy,
Bernie Taupin, wrote the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a team. What a team. Welcome back to the Jeff Calkins Show. We got Charles Fishman here. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Welcome to the show, Charles. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
One week plus or minus left in the year. One more Fish on Friday after this. So we're doing okay.
We're doing okay. Jeffrey tells me we're going to do... Oh, I forgot. If you guys didn't know, you can follow Charles C. Fishman on X or Twitter. He also wrote One Giant Leap. Man, I would love to, at some point, I'd love to have a beer and ask you about the moon landing. He wrote a book about the moon landing called One Giant Leap. It was super popular. He also worked on a riverboat, I think, or a barge. Were you on a riverboat or a barge?
I worked on a Mississippi River tugboat as a tugboat deckhand. And over the weekend, I was in New Orleans for a wedding. You know, that's what an American wedding needs. It needs a New Orleans setting because that just kind of amps up everything. And I visited the apartment I lived in from the outside. I did not knock on the door in the French Quarter when I was a Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. And I stood on the wharf alongside the French Quarter and watched the push boats and the tugboats come and go. Relived my youth. As a
that's fantastic.
As a Mississippi River tugboat deck.
That is fantastic. Jeffrey tells me you have a year end rap. I didn't know you were much of a rapper.
We don't
but
have
I,
a
he's
year end
hit,
rap. We do not have a year.
You don't
end
have a year end rap.
Not,
oh, okay.
It's
I was
not the year end yet.
I was looking forward to Jeffrey dropping a hip hop.
We got next.
And
we
you,
got next week. Yeah.
And you giving and you rapping about the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was hoping.
You can that you're going to have to just fall asleep and dream that.
I mean, I thought, listen, you're an award-winning author, a Mississippi Riverboat deckhand. I thought, let's add
poet.
Yeah, poet and hip hop.
Correct.
And hip hop artist.
Rhythmic poet.
Rhythmic poet.
Yeah. Slam poetry.
Yeah. I was trying to expand your horizons, Charles. That's what it is. Jeffrey.
Jeff Calkins is more likely to pull that off. I'm lucky to be able to sing White Christmas or Jingle Bells.
Jeff Calkins has played tuba before it. That's what he does.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Jeffrey.
We got the list, baby.
We got the list.
All right, Charles. We've had a surge in U.S. economic growth. You say we have new data this morning. What is it?
Yeah, this was as Christmas gifts go in the world of economic news, this was really nice. This morning, the U.S. government released data showing that in the last 3 months, that is the 3 months ended September 30th, so that may feel to you like a long time ago, 2.5 months. The economy grew by 4.3% on an annual basis. That's huge. The U.S. economy is $30 trillion a year, so it's hard for it to grow super fast. And 4.3% is really almost twice what it had been growing up to then. That's the highest growth rate in 2 years. So in July, August, and September, we were feeling pretty good about what was in our wallets or on our credit cards. We talked about this last week. We talked about how people feel in their hearts like the economy isn't doing that well, but when they open their wallets, when they go shopping, when they go online, they're comfortable spending, quote unquote, fundamentally strong, sentimentally weak. So this was another example of this. Deep in the numbers, there was one small caveat, and that is half the growth rate. Half of that growth rate comes just from big companies spending money on artificial intelligence, basically on data centers, software, and data center equipment. So that's kind of amazing. Real people, of course, build the servers for NVIDIA. Real people build data centers in Virginia and Nebraska, but AI spending, you know, makes people nervous because it could halt very, very suddenly if companies decide it's not worth it.
Do you think the AI stuff and the boom that we're in, it's in a way, it kind of reminds me of the .com boom. How it's not like we stopped using websites, but like there was this, that whole thing in the late 90s where whatever that whole boom, and then it kind of imploded on itself.
It did. It imploded on itself for a bunch of years. And there are some real similarities. Cisco was the NVIDIA of that era.
Yep.
And companies laid fiber optic cable. There's a phrase from a long time ago, although we all rely on it every minute of every day now. But they laid enough that it took 10 years to absorb the capacity that was there. Like building roads for data, where it took 10 years for the traffic to catch up. So that's the sense in which people are worried that all this scramble to buy computing capacity, like is being you guys in Memphis, it's happening right there with Elon Musk's XAI. But they're building stuff that's getting used. So what will be interesting to see is whether in the end, AI in the end, but even in the short term and the midterm, does AI help people do their jobs and so make companies a little more profitable with a little less people? Remember, no less a company than Walmart, the largest company in America by revenue and the largest company in the world by employees, announced this summer that they were going to continue to grow at 3-4% a year for the next 3 years and not hire any new people.
Wow.
So they think AI can be powerful. We should, Jeffrey, go right to construction of data centers.
I was about to say, this falls right in line with what you're saying. We've had, we have the construction of data centers to pass construction of offices next year.
Next year. This is kind of amazing if you think about it. If you think about office parks, office buildings in downtowns, office construction is pretty steady, the pandemic and the aftermath of the pandemic notwithstanding. Right now, in America, we're spending a little more than $4 billion a month building offices. That's $50 billion a year, and a little less than $4 billion a month building data centers. The difference is that office buildings are built with one thing in mind, to put people at desks or workstations or, you know, something like that. They're going to be filled with people. And data centers, again, coming back to XAI, a data center could easily be the size of a Walmart supercenter without anything in it but computers.
Yep.
But even a Walmart supercenter will employ hundreds of people because it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A data center might employ 20, you know? And so huge facilities, but they portend a different kind of business and economic environment. So next year, data centers are expected to crest over $4 billion a month in construction. Office construction expected to fall below that. There's a little bit of a glut of offices because New York has come back. For instance, downtown New York, I think in downtown Memphis, the last time I was there, it looked like there was available office capacity.
Plenty.
Certainly downtown Washington. Lots of people in Washington are lawyers or consultants or lobbyists. They work for places like Accenture. They work for defense contractors. Even if they only come to work 3 days a week, that means that those offices are empty 40% of the time. And so office capacity, lots of excess office capacity. So it'll be interesting. As recently as 2022, just 3 years ago, offices were at $5 billion a month, $60 billion a year in construction. And data centers weren't even at $1 billion. So data centers have quadrupled and they will quintuple in just a few years. And they're kind of stealing the thunder of the offices. Anyway, there you go.
Well, did we fail to get people back to the offices?
I think there's a lot of talk about forcing people back into offices, Google, Amazon, yeah. Apple. I think in the end, a lot of companies have remade themselves. And I think in terms of white collar employees, I haven't looked at the data recently, but in terms of white collar employees, I think fewer than 50% were going to the office every day. It's rare you meet someone who has the equivalent of a desk job or a keyboard job that person has to go to the office every day.
Yeah.
Whether they're a lawyer or a journalist or an insurance person or a software coder, part of the benefit of being a white collar employee is that at least a couple of days a week you can do your work at home. I personally think that's bad. I totally agree.
To
a friend who's getting a new job at a name brand journalism outfit and was told you never have to come to the office. And this person's young, and what she really needs is to work in a newsroom and meet other reporters and learn from their successes and mistakes, none of which she can do at her desk at home. So anyway, there you go.
All right. One of the economic news that I wanted to get to, because this one shocked me. Amtrak had a record year.
What?
Amtrak has had a record year. Isn't that kind of cool?
It's you're going to have to look. How?
All time.
Did they just raise prices?
Is this just the Florida, the thing that kills all the people?
No, that's not an Amtrak train. That's Brightline, which is a private train. Amtrak carried 34.5 million passengers. This is their fiscal year, which ends October 1st. 34.5 million people. So that's, 3 million people a month, not quite a million passengers a week, up 5% from last year. That's pretty significant, right? We're talking about an economy that's growing at 3%. So Amtrak's ridership grew faster than the economy, revenue up 11%. So not just did ridership grow, Amtrak raised prices and people still wanted to use Amtrak. I'll tell you, the reason in part, there's two reasons. Traffic, a lot of the increase, a lot of the 5% increase came from an 11% increase in the Northeast on average. They run trains everywhere.
Yeah.
But the Northeast saw
the
biggest
starts
jump.
To make a little more sense now, because
and that's because traffic up there is bad.
Yeah.
But
well,
also,
and their train systems are more developed, I feel like.
Yes.
More developed up there. The distances are actually shorter.
Yeah.
But also, flying is more and more and more a pain in the neck. And if you're flying from Philly to New York, if you're flying from Washington to Boston, if you're flying from Boston to New York, yeah, you can do it. It's only you're literally on approach to land the moment you take off. It's a 45-minute flight.
Yeah, you're going to spend more time on the tarmac than you are in the air.
You're certainly going to spend more time getting to the airport, waiting at the gate, and leaving the airport than you spend in the plane. And so you might, and also Amtrak is a pleasure. There is some security, but it's pretty non-intrusive, and you can just sit in your seat and work.
Do trains suffer from travel delays like the airline industry does?
They certainly can. The Northeast ones tend not to. It's the long haul trains where you can end up delayed 45 minutes somewhere because a freight train is coming through. And believe it or not, in most of the U.S., freight trains have priority. One final statistic on Amtrak, they carried 34.5 million riders last year, call it 35 million. U.S. airlines, that's all airlines, carry 35 million people every 2 weeks. 70
wow.
million people.
I mean, I
want
to be clear. I am someone that is pro train.
Yes,
I was in Europe, it's awesome. I also fundamentally acknowledge Europe's a much smaller, it's much smaller geographically.
Absolutely.
They have the high speed and whatnot. It's I'm not someone's we should do this in America. I understand the issues that surround it, but I was just shocked to learn in 2025 Amtrak had a record year.
It's nice. Our train system is fundamentally inadequate. That's
yes.
what you can say about it.
Yes.
But it's good that once you've built the infrastructure, it's good to see people using it, and it's good to see that people think it's worth their money.
All right. Since we're kind of running up,
I'm keeping one eye on the time. Maybe
I would say we're running up against it. So you want your three tips for the last week of the year?
No, I want the most memorable Christmas gift.
All right.
The New York Times asked readers for their most memorable Christmas gifts. 600 replies.
All right, writing this down so that I can go buy this for my wife.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They picked the 13 best. Some of them were, 24 readers said homemade cards. 23 readers said a particular beautiful frame photograph. Several readers, I thought this was interesting, got a gift of a deck of cards relabeled 52 Reasons I Love You, with 52 reasons written on each
card. Way too much work for me, JR.
Ow!
About why they love you.
Wow!
Three readers had someone clean their car or had their car detailed for Christmas.
That's pretty good.
My wife 2 years ago.
My wife's car's too clean.
Huge hit.
She could do it for me.
The best were not, only one of the best involved really anything serious purchased. A young military mom, husband overseas, three young children, mentioned in passing she couldn't imagine how she was ever going to get a Christmas tree, and friends of her husband delivered her a fully decorated Christmas tree. That was nice. A wife said that they only had one stapler, and she used to have to run upstairs when she was working at home to get the stapler and staple things, and then run back downstairs, and he bought her a stapler. She just appreciated that he noticed. A father who quit smoking when his daughter graduated from grad school as her Christmas gift. That's a great Christmas gift. A father who recorded at her request a woman's favorite children's books, him reading them, so that they would always be there for her kids.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So there you go. Here's three things to do in the last week. Buy a real book as a gift or for yourself, enroll in your 401k if you haven't. And hey, apparently get your wife or husband or your mom's car clean.
Yes, get it detailed.
That's a great gift idea. Yeah. I hope my wife is not listening.
Yeah.
Have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you on the second to last day of the year.
Thanks,
Charles. Charles Fishman. Of course, he's on X at C Fishman.
What's coming up next?
I have a quick tip. Aaliyah the other day is like, I saw this funny video about what to get your wife in a stocking stuffer. And I was like, all right, go listening. He was like, it was this funny video of a woman telling men to just go and look at their wife's makeup drawer and whatever's just grab things out of that and then go to like Ulta or wherever.
Yeah, whatever's
and then,
low. Right, replenish.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty good. So also smart. There you go. Another tip.
Might be doing that.
Another tip, guys. What's coming up next, Jeffrey?
The Rich Eisen Show is coming up next. Also, later on live today, David Cobb will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. We'll also have Gabe live in studio from 4 until 7.
Nice. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I'll be hosting again on
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. You've been listening to the Jeff Calkins Show. My name is J.R. Moore, filling in for Jeff. Hey, next Tigers game, take the family. It's a lot of fun. Go to it. I went last night. It was awesome. You're listening to 99 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.